Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Supreme Court's decision handed down today in Arizona versus the United States and speak with Rodolfo Espino, who's a professor of political science at Arizona State University and the editor of Latino Politics, Identity, Mobilization, and Representation. We will discuss how law enforcement in Arizona will deal with what is left of SB 1070, the so-called Show Me Your Papers provision. Then we will speak with Matthew Miller, who is the former communications director for Attorney General Eric Holder, who this week the House of Representatives will likely vote to hold in contempt of Congress. At issue are documents that allegedly pertain to a botched ATF operation, Fast and Furious. But so far, the lead inquisitor, Representative Daryl Issa, has refused to allow public testimony from the ATF, which refutes his claims about an operation the Bush administration set up in the first place, which Eric Holder only learned of a year ago. Then finally, award-winning investigative journalist Max Blumenthal joins us. He has been writing for the Lebanese newspaper Al-Akhbar, and we will discuss his clash with the pro-Assad bias of the newspaper that led to his recent resignation, as well as examine why some still consider Syria's tyrannical ruling family of murderous kleptocrats revolutionary leaders in the struggle against Western imperialism. And joining us now is Rodolfo Espino, who's a professor of political science at Arizona State University, specializing in American politics, racial politics, and political behavior. He's the editor of Latino Politics, Identity, Mobilization, and Representation, and the co-director of the Minority Language Assistance Research Project. Welcome to Background Briefing, Rodolfo Espino.
Thank you for having me.
And what is, since you're in Arizona, what is the local reaction, as far as you can tell, of the Supreme Court's decisions handed down today in Arizona versus the United States in terms of striking down most of SB 1070, but upholding the most controversial part of it, the so-called Show Me Your Papers provision?
Yeah. From what I can tell from my perspective, the reactions on the ground from both sides, left and right, are pretty mixed. Just like the opinion was pretty mixed, if you've had a chance to read through it. As you mentioned, most of the provisions have been shot down, but probably one of the most egregious provisions has been upheld, with the majority of the court voting in favor of upholding the Show Me Your Papers, Please provision. What was interesting, too, was the development also coming from the administration, though, that in the wake of the decision, though, the Obama administration has decided to suspend the 287G program, which basically is a program that creates a partnership between ICE, the federal border enforcement agents, and local law enforcement in respect training local law enforcement in terms of how to enforce federal immigration laws, how you engage in procedures in terms of identifying a suspected illegal immigrant, asking for papers and such. So the resulting impact here on the ground in Arizona is that you have this opportunity to proceed with asking people for their papers, at the same time with the federal government suspending the training program that properly trains local law enforcement in how to engage in those procedures. So right now on the ground here in Arizona, people on both sides are applauding and deriding the decisions from the court and also from the White House.
But it would seem, though, Rodolfo Espino, that it's impossible not to, that the Show Me Your Papers provision, the idea that it won't lead to racial profiling is just ridiculous. I mean, of course it will, because who are they going to pull over? They're not going to pull over people that look like Mitt Romney and John McCain. Aren't right. They going to pull over dark-skinned people and Chinese-looking people?
Yeah, that's the fear from many people within the Latino community here in Arizona. Regardless of your citizenship status, the suspicion from most people will be that the people that you should pull over are going to be Latinos. And how can you tell who is going to be a person that's here legally or illegally, just based on the color of their skin? So you raise a good point, and that's a criticism that many people, Latino civil rights activists here in Arizona, are concerned about. Now, what the other thing, though, again, I'm really I don't know what to say. A lot of people here are surprised, but also to the instant reaction by the Obama administration with respect to suspending the 287G program, because that 287G program, in effect, gave local law enforcement protection, gave them cover, saying, hey, we pulled somebody over, and we were properly trained in terms of how to look and identify those individuals that we suspect are in this country illegally. Now, with the suspension of that program, it's going to put local law enforcement, specifically Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, Joe Arpaio in particular, his deputies are going to be under the gun, so to speak, because of the suspension of this program. So, the Supreme Court has given the green light to local law enforcement in Arizona to proceed with pulling people over. But at the same time, the federal government has put local law enforcement in a quandary, saying, okay, go ahead, do it, but you're not going to get, you know, the proper training that you need from us to pull people over.
Again, I'm speaking with Rodolfo Espino, professor of political science at Arizona State University, where he specializes in American politics, racial politics, and political behavior. He's the editor of Latino Politics, Identity, Mobilization, and Representation. Now, I guess this is the key, though. I'm trying to figure this out, Rodolfo. If you get pulled over for driving while Hispanic in Arizona, and they ask for your citizenship or your residency papers, and you don't have them, what do they do? If the federal government's pulled out of that intersection, what is the intersection between Arpaio's police and federal detention for immigrants that don't have their papers?
What I suspect is that that's going to create a legal question for the courts, because now you don't have somebody that gets pulled over could probably take suit, you know, all the way to the court, sue the sheriff's deputy, saying, look, you pulled me over. You weren't properly trained. The federal government has procedures in place. You no longer have that proper training, and therefore my civil rights were violated. I suspect that in the wake of the suspension of the 287G partnership program, that it's going to, could create a flurry of lawsuits, because if Sheriff Joe Arpaio's deputies continue to do their immigration sweeps, crime suppression sweeps is what they now call them, into neighborhoods, rounding up people that they suspect are in this country illegally, they no longer have that protection from the federal government that says that they were properly trained. Therefore, somebody that gets pulled over, whether they're here legally or illegally doesn't matter. They can bring suit to the federal courts and say, look, I was pulled over, it's a violation of my civil rights, 14th Amendment. And local law enforcement is going to be, apprehensive. It could put them, because you look at all the money that the Maricopa Sheriff's office has lost over the last, 5 years because of violation of civil rights on all fronts, not just pulling people over because they suspect they're in this country illegally, but, people dying in their jail cells. They're just a flurry of violations of civil rights. Local law enforcement is going to be hard-pressed to say, should we continue to do this, right? We no longer have the protection from the federal government. Maricopa Sheriff's Office is not the only one that has a 287G partnership program. There's other law enforcement agencies in Arizona that have it. But they're going to be hard-pressed. A lot of the directors of these agencies are going to be hard-pressed to justify why they should continue to do this when there is going to be this threat that a person they pull over could bring a multi-million dollar lawsuit against them. And so right now, again, here on the ground in Arizona, people are flummoxed by the developments from the court and from the administration in terms of what is going to happen now. There was fear from many people, Hispanic civil rights activists, that all of a sudden you're now going to have a lot of people getting pulled over. But at the same time, given the Obama administration's decision, it also puts local law enforcement, on their heels in terms of how they should proceed now.
Well, I can see how if you're a legal resident or an American citizen, you just didn't have your papers with you, proving your citizenship or your green card, that you could be sufficiently outraged to sue. But if you are, in fact, not here legally, then you would be not in much of a position to sue, surely. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I would think that it'll take pulling over legal residents to get the ball rolling in what you're talking about.
Oh, well, absolutely. But I think, again, local law enforcement, you know, they're going to be apprehensive, though. I mean, again, it goes back, how can you just look at somebody and say whether they're here legally or illegally? You know, they're just going to be that, that hesitation in part because, you know, you don't have that 287G training protection.
Well, right? but the thing that troubles me about Arizona, and I think a lot of other people in the country are wondering. I mean, first of all, I still can't get over the governor wagging a finger in the president's face. I mean, conservative contempt and disrespect for the president is fairly pervasive. We just had that outrageous incident in the Rose Garden with the president being interrupted while he was making an announcement. But Brewer's calling this a victory. Arpaio, I'm sure, is calling it a victory. We know that there's a link between Brewer and her aides and the prison industrial complex in Arizona, which is an absolute scandal in itself, where the idea is through SB 1070, you have a bonanza where you can pull over thousands of Latinos and shove them into correctional facilities waiting for deportation, and you can make money off this. And I mean, that's a proven story and a very alarming one. So tell us from the Arizona perspective, Rodolfo, of why it is that Brewer is so pleased with this ruling.
Well, pleased because the Supreme Court ruling in itself gives local law enforcement the opportunity to go ahead. But I think there hasn't been much response or reaction or reflection upon the suspension of the 287G program. And I think that is something that once local law enforcement administrators ponder that more carefully, right? I mean, we're hearing reaction from politicians, from, you know, of course, Brewer. We're hearing, of course, some of your legislators in the Republican-dominated House and Senate here in Arizona, all the way down, applauding this decision because it does give the green light for local law enforcement to go ahead and ask for papers. But again, the suspension of the 287G program, I think, is something that we all have to pay attention to because it's going to give local law enforcement pause.
Isn't it true, though, Rodolfo, that they already, apart from Arpaio, who's clearly an ideologue with a right-wing political agenda, a lot of professional police, more pragmatic police in Arizona, never liked the SB 1070 from the beginning, have they? Because they understand that it's going to drive the Latino community underground, that they're not going to get any cooperation in terms of investigations in communities. And you've got a substantial percentage of the state of Arizona that basically is not going to cooperate with the police. So they understand, professional police understand, that this has been a bad law from the beginning, don't they?
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. And so you've had police chiefs from Phoenix and also some of the surrounding suburbs, such as Mesa, Chandler, have showdowns with Joe Arpaio and his deputies about how you enforce immigration laws, right? You know, Arpaio would go in with his deputies and his volunteer posse and do these immigration sweeps. Now he calls them crime suppression sweeps, rounding up people they suspect that are in this country illegally. But again, you're absolutely right. The professional police chiefs are really apprehensive to engage in such practices for the fear that it hurts their ability to get information and support from the community, partner policing with members of the community. And this is where, again, that suspension of that 287G program is going to give a lot of these administrators even more pause, you know. You know, why should they proceed? First of all, it's going to create fear and intimidation within the community. And this stuff is it goes back decades. I mean, there's the infamous Chandler Roundup in 1997, where Chandler police were engaging in a lot of the practices that Arpaio's deputies currently engage in. And what was the result of that? The city of Chandler was sued for millions of dollars for violation of civil rights because they were pulling over people that were in this country legally. And that was a violation of their civil rights. As a result, Chandler Police has reformed its practices and no longer engages in those those policies. And Chandler's not alone. Mesa, Avondale, Litchfield Park, Goodyear, all the surrounding communities outside of Phoenix are going to be very hesitant to proceed with enforcing SB 1070 because of fear that they're going to violate the rights of people that are in this country legally.
Well, just in closing, Rodolfo Espino, how do you think this is going to play in this election? I recently spoke with some specialists on Latino politics who said that the Latino vote in this election was the sleeping giant. We also already know that Mitt Romney last week went down to Florida to address a forum of Latino legislators and try to put his best face forward, and then he was followed by President Obama. So clearly the Latino vote is being courted. What's your understanding of the response to this? What's the likely response to this? I mean, the president, of course, came out today, and frankly, I hadn't heard about what you've been telling us about. He's already moved on striking down this provision to cooperate between police and federal authorities on law enforcement, which I think is an extremely important point that you brought up. The president said no American should ever live under a cloud of suspicion just because of what they look like. I haven't heard from Romney yet on what his response is, but how do you think this is going to play in the Latino community in terms of the so-called sleeping giant?
Yeah, I think that this is going to increase enthusiasm among Latino voters towards Obama. Keep in mind that there was a strong lack of enthusiasm in the 2010 midterm elections by Latino voters towards the Democratic Party and the Obama administration because of the perception that Democrats and the Obama administration had abandoned Latino voters. Kennedy Obama had run in 2008 on, like many candidates do, just with the myriad promises of what he was going to do in office, healthcare reform, climate change legislation, comprehensive immigration reform. What happened, though, is as soon as he took office, Republicans played obstructionist and dragged health care reform longer and longer and longer, cut down the legislative calendar so the Obama administration had to make a decision with Pelosi as to what they were going to pursue. Climate change, immigration reform, they chose climate change. A lot of Latino voters felt that they were, you know, the promises that they were made to them were broken. And they stayed home in the 2010 midterm elections and didn't feel very enthusiastic towards Obama and the Democrats. Now you're starting to see, according to poll numbers, enthusiasm towards Democrats and Obama in particular ticking up among Latino voters. And in the wake of the suspension of the 287G program, the SB 1070 decision, also keep in mind what happened last week. The White House had issued an executive order saying, it was a step towards the DREAM Act, that they're going to stop deporting individuals that are in this country through no fault of their own, children that are brought here, right? Their primary language is English. They've completed high school. This is one of the provisions in the DREAM Act. Here's an executive order. Congress is not moving on it. Obama has issued an executive order pushing forward in a little tiny step in comprehensive immigration reform, a tiny step in this thing that we call the DREAM Act. And this is increasing enthusiasm among Latino voters, particularly young Latino voters, towards Obama. And it's putting Republicans and Mitt Romney in particular on their heels in terms of how they're going to court the Latino vote. The Latino vote is becoming really critical in a lot of these battleground states. I don't think Arizona is quite there in terms of the numbers of being that, you know, the so-called battleground state, but look at other states around us: New Mexico, Nevada, North Carolina, Virginia, non-trivial numbers of Latino voters in those battleground states that now are going to be more enthusiastic at turning out and voting for Obama in the November 2012 election.
And, of course, Florida is a key Hispanic vote. I mean, a lot of from Central America, but nevertheless, it's a pretty substantial in Central Florida, right?
Yes. In Central Florida, Orlando, you have a lot of Puerto Rican voters.
Right. I'm sorry, Puerto Rican, yeah, from the Caribbean.
Yeah, a lot of the immigration questions there are not as pertinent for them as they are in other battleground states. But, yes, Florida is going to matter. And also, too, why does Florida matter? You had this potential VP candidate, Senator Marco Rubio, floating his DREAM Act proposal. And with a decision coming from the White House last week, it basically eliminated that provision that Marco Rubio was pushing. Just makes it moot.
Well, he, of course, doesn't have a snowball's prayer of becoming the VP. I think it's all hype. I mean,
oh, absolutely. I agree.
I mean, he's actually, you know, one of the reasons I think they can't put him on the ticket, apart from the fact that he's like about as qualified as Sarah Palin was, is that he's also a Mormon, too. So his family were. So two Mormons on the ticket would be too much, I think.
That just wouldn't fly too much, especially some of those evangelical states.
Right. Well, I thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
I've been speaking with Rodolfo Espino, who's a professor of political science at Arizona State University, where he specializes in American politics, racial politics, and political behavior. He is the editor of Latino Politics, Identity, Mobilization, and Representation, and co-director of the Minority Language Assistance Research Project. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with the former public affairs officer for Attorney General Eric Holder, who is about to be held in contempt by the United States Congress.
In between our life and death.
Tell me, who's the next to cross
the border?